Welcome to Mountain Escapes, brought to you by the BLBCA. Today we take you to the Monashee Mountain Range near Revelstoke, BC, and visit Soul Mountain Lodge, which is owned and operated by Aaron and Sabine Cooperman, who offer epic backcountry adventures and who have been building family memories for years.
They felt very proud to be up there and doing that and being part of the Soul family. That's what we are.
The kids have been a big part of this the whole way along.
Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast. Your host is Brad Harrison, who's worked and adventured in remote settings his entire life. He's the executive director of the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association, former owner-operator of Golden Alpine Holidays, and current owner-operator of Call West Alpine Adventures. Now, here's Brad Harrison.
Welcome to another episode of the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes. We are pleased to have a chance to chat with Aaron and Sabine Cooperman, owner-operators of Soul Mountain Lodge, which is located south of Revelstoke, BC in the Monashee Mountains. Hi, Aaron and Sabine.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Brad. It's good to chat.
Hey, Aaron and Sabine. It's great you could join us. We appreciate you taking the time to provide a little insight in your operation. Many of our operators, or many of our listeners, probably have never visited Soul Mountain or any other backcountry lodge. Can you provide a few details about your operation? How long you've been operating? Where are you located? That kind of thing?
Yeah, so we're located between Revelstoke and Vernon as the crow flies, and we are situated in the Monashee Mountains. In the summer, our guests can drive up via Revelstoke and drive basically to the lodge door. In the winter, our guests either fly in from Revelstoke or from the Cherryville side, which is east of Vernon, just because it's nice and close to the Kelowna International Airport.
Once we arrive in the lodge in the summer or the winter, I'm sure the scenery must be amazing. Can you give us a bit of a description of what the lodge and the setting looks like?
If it's not a snowy day when the guests arrive in the winter, they step out of the helicopter. Once that helicopter leaves, I think the first thing that strikes them is they're surrounded by ski terrain. You know, they look up above the lodge, they see great ski runs, look out across the valley. And then from there, there's this beautiful lodge situated in a really picturesque alpine meadow.
So can I ski right off the front doorstep?
Yeah, often our ski days start with a run right out the front door. We drop down to Bear Creek, maybe cross the other side.
How does the your guiding program work? Are all the groups guided?
Yeah, definitely. All our groups are guided. And the way it works at the lodge, with a full lodge of 18 guests, we have three guides plus a tail guide. And that gives us the opportunity to split the guests into smaller groups, you know, ideally six guests. But, you know, it's really about forming cohesive groups. We'll see guests come in small groups, and so then they'll get their own private guide. You know, it also enables us to tailor the ski day to the guest, you know, meaning if a guest is not looking for a full day, if perhaps they're new to backcountry skiing, then by all means, you know, we can provide a day for them and simple terrain near the lodge. For those groups that do want more adventure, by all means, our guides are always keen to get after it. And there's lots of opportunity for great ski touring loops, you know, to include a peak and, you know, perhaps skiing down some steep north-facing chutes and into the trees. It all, you know, all depends on the conditions, of course.
And so the guests would have a variety of options depending on how they felt through the week. They could change groups and that kind of thing?
Definitely. We mix and match every day. You know, we start with what the guests would like to do with their day. And, you know, we provide options each morning depending on conditions. You know, another common scenario is, too, you know, often you get big groups and they do at least want to ski most of the day together. So sometimes we'll just assign two guides, have a larger group, you know, it could be 10 to 12. And they can start the day together, you know, ski different lines, and then have a go home early option.
If there is an average length of day, what would that be?
Well, we generally shoot to get the skiers out the door between 8 and 8:30. They're usually out for about 8 hours. Guests are generally back 4:30 early in the season, and you know, they might get back as late as 5 or even 5:30 on a bigger day as the days get longer.
So I'm guessing that on 8 hours of ski touring, they probably come home with a pretty big appetite. What kind of food should I expect at your facility?
Yeah, we've got some amazing chefs up at the lodge and some bakers as well. And they prepare us with some amazing gourmet meals, starting with appies and then a 3-course meal. We've shifted into a bit more of a vegetarian menu just for not only personal reasons, but, you know, it's kind of looking at the sustainability. Purchasing from local businesses such as DeMille's and Salmon Arm, who source a lot of their produce locally as well. So, you know, it's definitely 50% vegetarian with a side of meat if needed. And our guests are really enjoying these new styles.
So I'm not going to expect porridge for breakfast and noodles and sausage for supper?
No, absolutely not. You might be expecting a soul bowl and some amazing desserts, lots of fresh baking, and definitely makes it a treat and hard to go home and sort of figure out what you need to cook for the rest of the week when you return.
The other thing that we're doing at the lodge is we've sourced a lot of local wines from the Okanagan. And then, of course, the beer, it's local. It comes from Mount Bagby Brewery in Revelstoke. Coffees, well, as local as you can get. It's roasted in Revelstoke as well, thanks to Stoke Roasters.
It sounds like you're making lots of effort to limit your footprint on the environment, both locally and globally.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're starting by trying to attain most of our supplies locally. Last summer, we put an addition on the lodge, and along with that, we added 1,600 watts of solar panels. You know, our lodge it's already powered by a micro hydro system, but we still had to run the generator to, you know, to top up power as needed. Now, these solar panels we had last year, you know, as long as we've got some sun, we found that we rarely have to run the generator at all. So that, you know, that's helped us reduce our footprint.
Yeah, is it top of mind for most of your guests these days, just the footprint you're leaving?
I think it's driving a lot of our guests' choices, you know, in terms of what type of vacations they choose these days. You know, I think everybody's conscientiously trying to reduce their footprint. You know, at the same time, you know, they want to get out for backcountry skiing. So balancing those two things. They definitely, I think the guests feel a lot better about, you know, visiting a backcountry lodge that puts noticeable efforts into reducing their footprint.
This is the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you hear us on. Leave us a 5-star review and we'll maybe share some of our favorites on a future show. Now, back to the podcast.
Do you both spend quite a bit of your winter and summer working up at the lodge?
Well, I try to get up there as much as possible, but the office definitely is home base. So I spend a lot of time here organizing the trips and the groups. But I definitely do enjoy being up there as much as possible and skiing with our guests. So kind of putting a name to a face, which has been lots of fun.
Myself, I take care of the operation side of things up at the lodge. So my goal these days is to be up there half the time, you know, so I can spend more time at home. You know, that works out to, you know, about 15 to 20 days a month in the winter. And in the summer, again, trying to reduce that a little bit more, keeping it 15 days or less in the summer.
And you have two young adult children. Do they both work up at the lodge as well, summer and winter?
Yeah, you betcha. They kind of actually grew up with the lodge. It's definitely been a lot of fun watching them move forward. Yeah, they actually do spend a lot of time, especially Seth, over the last few years. He's been sort of working, you know, helping out with the powder slave position. The only bonus out of COVID was that actually Seth was able to be at the lodge in the winters as much as possible. And in the summer, he's been a key instrument in building the mountain bike trails And Josie, well, she's been a part of it too, you know, just whether in the office or actually up at the lodge, she did some practicing as well. And this year, those two actually managed to sneak a week up together without their parents co-managing the lodge. They felt very proud to be up there and doing that and being part of this whole family. That's what we are.
The kids have been a big part of this the whole way along. You know, looking back to the early years when we were first applying for our permits to start this operation, you know, that's way back in 2002. And that's when Josie was born. You know, moving ahead, 2004, that's when we first built the little lodge. And that's when Seth was born. So, you know, and then moving ahead, you know, in the early years, of course, you know, it takes extra effort to get them up to the lodge, you know, and get them out for skiing. Now you look ahead 20 years later, you know, and definitely the switch is flipped here. You know, they're a big part of it. They're a huge help. You know, it was kind of neat this winter. You know, we look back, you know, kids always started skiing up on the bunny slope, a little slope just above the lodge. And now and again, Seth's been, you know, he's been stepping more into the helping with the guiding program up there as a powder slave, tail guide kind of role. We had a guest that he was just looking for a pretty light duty day, just getting back in shape, I guess. So there goes Seth leading his first group of one up to the bunny slope, you know, where it began for him.
That's amazing. Great story. So not everybody gets to end up building a facility in such a pristine environment. How did you end up building and operating this facility in this location?
It's not an easy process. And the way it all started for us, you know, it all kind of happened at the same time. You know, I became certain that I wanted to attain ski guide certification and work in the industry. You know, and at that time, this is the late 90s, for myself and Sabine, going to a backcountry lodge as a couple was definitely our favorite thing to do. We got to visit some of the lodges in the Kootenays, went up to Valhalla Mountain Lodge at McKean Lakes, VMT. We went there a couple times with our kids, you know, so it was really great to visit these lodges. And then locally here too at Monarchy Chalet, we spent a lot of time up there. You know, it was largely the inspiration that, you know, we wanted to develop our own lodge and put our own spin on it. Fortunately, we do have the opportunity in BC to apply to what back then was BC Lands, you know, and there was a permitting process in place. So, you know, the first step is to choose an area. Yeah, and that wasn't easy. You know, there's, as we move on here, there's less and less land available out there to operate backcountry lodges. So, you know, we first started looking locally, being in the North Thompson Valley, where we live, north of Kamloops and up towards Blue River. But we're just finding it hard to find a good location that would, you know, offer everything you need in a backcountry lodge. You know, number one, terrain, you know, and reasonable access. You need access to water, good snow. That's important. You know, after a few years of research, it was actually, I was working for Monarchy Powder Snowcats. And the owner there, Nick Holmes-Smith, he told us about this area. You know, it was up the head of North Fostall Creek, just on the east side of Monarchy Provincial Park. It wasn't really on our radar, but Nick, he had looked at it for a cat skiing operation. But the terrain worked, but operationally, it wasn't suitable for cat skiing. One of the primary reasons being mechanized activity was not permitted in Monarchy Provincial Park, right? Which is a large part of our tenure down there. So there we go. Then we went ahead and applied, and, you know, that took a few years to sort out. And then 2004, we started building. You know, now here we are 18 years later.
Running a successful ski operation. That's amazing.
British Columbia, Canada is a backcountry skier's paradise. With epic snowfall, vast alpine terrain, and cozy remote backcountry lodges. Your adventure begins here at backcountrylodgesofbc.com.
This is the Mountain Escapes, brought to you by the BLBCA. We are chatting with Sabine and Aaron Cooperman, owners of Soul Mountain Lodge in the Monashee Mountains of BC. Welcome back. Aaron and Sabine, you mentioned earlier your winter operation. How does the summer season differ from the winter from a, say, a logistical perspective?
In the summer, our guests actually get to drive up to the lodge. It's a bit of a bumpy road, but it's about 2.5 hours south of Revelstoke. And yeah, you can drive right to the door, unload your gear. We offer more of a self-guided operation, but it's fully catered still, keeping our staff in mind. And I mean, guiding is available for hiking trips, but all the mountain biking up there is self-guided. And yeah, it's quite picturesque.
So you mentioned mountain biking and hiking. What other kind of activities would guests engage in?
Well, we do get people up there doing yoga retreats. I had offered a few a couple of years ago, but we've got some, you know, private people coming up and booking the lodge as well. We've bird watching, and there has been even an arts group coming up and doing some painting in the meadows because, yeah, the flowers are pretty stunning.
Probably one of the primary activities up there is chilling on the deck at sunset. We can't forget that.
Yeah, I think you had a group of trail runners, I recall seeing a post about as well.
Yeah, that's right, actually. I mean, there is a group that used to come up for quite a few summers doing a trail running clinics, but now it's it seems like it's the group that come, it's a mixed group now. We don't get really full lodge bookings, but we get more like individuals and couples, families coming up there, and that's all part of their what they like to do.
I think one of the great things about the lodge in the summer is it just does provide opportunities for different ages, different activities types to enjoy the mountain setting. A really common theme we see is multi-generations. You know, we'll see the parents, the grandparents, the kids. Some people have mountain bikes. Some people don't travel far, you know. But generally, everybody can make a 40-minute hike up to Soul Lake, right? And on a hot summer's day, you'll often see everybody converging there, swimming, hanging out, having a cold drink. And just generally, it's a great place for families to get together.
Would you find that so the guests you have in the winter are not necessarily the same people you have in the summer?
No, there's definitely a crossover, actually. I mean, you know, we're mountain bikers, but we're also ski tours, and we see a lot of that crossover between the two. And then we get hikers that come back in the winter, and after they've been up in the mountains and checking out the ski terrain, they decide to come back, and maybe they come back as a single, or they come back with their wives, or maybe with their sons and daughters. And yeah, so it's definitely a crossover both ways.
What do you think your guests, I'm sure you have a lot of return guests, so particularly your return guests, value most about their experience at Soul Mountain Lodge?
They all come to ski, that's for sure. You know, and that's the thing about all these backcountry lodges in BC. You go to anyone, you're pretty much guaranteed good skiing. Yeah, I think what brings the guests back, it's a connection to the place. It's a connection to the experiences they've had previous with their friends and family. And then it's a connection to the staff and to the owners.
You mentioned Monashee Park. I think you're a bit unique in the overall BLBC membership. Does the close proximity to Monashee Park and its history, does it positively or negatively impact your operation?
I mean, Monashee Park, it's a positive impact both ways. It's positive for our operation. You know, our presence there and us operating up there is a positive influence on the park. Yeah, I mean, we feel really fortunate to have access to that park. It's kind of a unique piece of wilderness. You know, it's surrounded by a lot of, you know, fairly busy, populated piece of BC interior. Yet it's a very rugged, remote piece of wilderness. So Monashee Park, it does have interesting history. The main reason that it is a park is a lot of the local original explorers, they live down in Cherryville, BC. Some of them are still alive, and they still have this group called Friends of Monashee Park. It was originally explored on horseback, and this is going back to the 50s, plus they would land float planes in Peters Lake, Margie's Lake. And then it was after this group, they lobbied the BC government to make it a provincial park. And in 1962, that area was formed into Monashee Provincial Park. So moving ahead to our operation in the park and, you know, what we're doing up there. I'd say, well, it's a huge benefit to us, mainly because we have access to this, you know, large tract of wilderness mountains that's non-mechanized. One of the key criteria, or one of the main reasons for promoting that park and their management objectives, was that it was intended to provide wilderness non-motorized recreation, which is exactly what our operation does. So, you know, moving ahead to about 2013, we started looking at building mountain bike trails and embarking on that process. We've developed mountain bike and hiking trails, both outside the park and then in Monashee Provincial Park. The application and permitting process was separate for both locations. Now, within the park, you know, it's quite the process for BC Parks to be comfortable with a commercial operator to build trails. You know, when a lot of us use trails, you know, we don't necessarily think of them as having much impact on the land base. But the reality is, and this is the viewpoint of BC Parks, is, you know, these trails are seen as permanent infrastructure. So there's quite a process involved, you know, including public consultation, environmental impact assessments, and just being sure that it meets the long-term goals of the park. You know, we went through that process, and now we've established three key trails in Monashee Park. And one of them goes out to Caribou Pass. Now, Caribou Pass, it was traditionally used by backpackers who stay down at Peters Lake. And from there, they would come up through the pass and go out to Mount Fosstall. So what was happening is there was a lot of trail braiding. You know, there was no clear route. So hikers would, you know, often just take the route that made the most sense to them. So now that we have an established trail there, that's brought the Monashee Park guests, those hikers, you know, it's brought them to follow the trail we've established, and then they curl around out of the pass and then get up Mount Fosstall, which is, you know, it's a common peak to climb for hikers in the area. And then as well, we've developed a trail that goes up above the lodge to Soul Lake, and a part of that's in the park. And then you go over the backside of the ridge, which is all Monashee Park. That gives you good views to the north, to the Gold Range. You're looking down to Margie Lake, which is a stunning setting. It's right at treeline. And then the trail continues around the back of the ridge and then back up to the top of the ridge where you get a good view of the lodge. Another neat thing about Margie Lake, there's fish. So you can hike down there and go fishing.
And I think we've got a really great working relationship too with provincial parks, because, you know, the old access into Margie Lake is completely gone. It there was a couple slides and road issues. And so the main access for people up into the park now has been coming through via Soul and our road access. So Parks has actually built a parking lot area for the visitors for going over to Margie Lake that aren't staying at the lodge and have done some development up there as well. So I think it's a win-win relationship with parks and our business.
It certainly is. I think another thing to add about the trails up there, it's interesting, these trails, Brad, you know, obviously we started this operation to provide skiing, and then, you know, it was a bunch of mountain bikers who kept telling us, you know, local trail developers, you know, from Revelstoke, such as Bruno Long and the fellow who ran the program at Silver Star, Cam Sorensen, they'd come up and visit in the summer and go hiking. They'd say, you know, you got to build mountain bike trails up here. And we'd say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. And they're right, it was. But the payback's been huge, really. But what I wanted to get at is those trails, they're not just for our guests, okay? So they've actually enhanced public use up there. You know, in the summer, when we're talking about mountain bikers, I bet if at least 50% of the mountain bikers, or if not more, that you see out on those trails are actually not our guests. You know, either they're coming up for the day or possibly camping nearby. It just emphasizes, you know, what a win-win relationship it has been with BC Parks
and your other users. And, you know, you're really in a prime position to influence, you know, many backcountry users. So how do you see yourself positively impacting those users and providing them with, you know, perhaps information or education on how to behave in the backcountry?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, when they, first off, whether it's our guest, you know, or it's public, you know, when they come up and use the access past the lodge to access the trails, they definitely, right away, they see how we're using the land, how we're managing the trails, you know, and just how we're managing the lodge site and our waste. You know, there's always questions, you know, they're always interested in the power system. That's for sure. Whether it's our guests or it's public, the first and initial communication point is signage. So, you know, we're really clear asking that users, you know, stay on the trails. That's a big one. You know, that was a big concern for the Friends of Monashee Provincial Park and other public comments through the process. You know, mountain bikers over the years, you know, they've gotten a bad rap for causing damage out there on the, you know, and mainly it's from going off trails. So we really had to ensure that we would manage appropriately and keep all the users on the trails. So that's number one, you know, and then of course, you know, there's common stuff about managing your waste, you know, how to interact with wildlife. It's definitely grizzly bear habitat up there. And you know, a lot of the trail design, it's had to incorporate the grizzly bear habitat. You know, there's a lot of things we do with the trails to ensure good sight lines, you know, and just to be sure that, and encouraging the guests, you know, educating them on being bear aware and how to act out there.
So Soul Mountain Lodge sounds like a really amazing place. I'd love to get up there and visit one day. If listeners are interested in learning more about your operation, how do they best reach you?
Well, they can check out our website, and it has a lot of the information on there about how to get there and how to book. But there's always that little icon at the bottom that says call Sabine, and I typically can answer a lot of those questions and get people sorted for a trip.
This has been the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes. We have been fortunate enough to visit with Sabine and Aaron, owner-operators of Soul Mountain Lodge, and we thank you for listening in. Take good care.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks a lot, Brad. It was good to chat. Take care.
Thanks for being a part of our podcast. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe on the platform of your choice. Mountain Escapes is brought to you by the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association. Produced in beautiful BC by Bolt Productions.